Now, thousands of people across Northern Ireland whose loved ones were murdered by Republican or Loyalist terrorists must have access to truth and justice via inquests. That's the call from the Ulster Unionist Party MLA, Doug Beattie. I spoke to him earlier about the move announced yesterday that will allow the Department of Justice to spend an estimated $55 million to speed up legacy inquest arrangements and deal with outstanding cases. Some people say these legacy inquests are focusing too heavily on the state.
Well, I've got to say, we're talking 52 cases, Stephen, 93 deaths. And I think it's great for the families that they're finally going to get the inquest that they deserve. I guess everybody is entitled to truth and justice and, where possible, accountability. So I think everybody should be happy that they're going to get their inquest in the next 6 years. My concern is this, that people seem to think that there's only 52 cases outstanding. There is actually hundreds of legacy inquests which are outstanding, and there is no plan in place for the rest. And that concerns me. And I have written and asked, what will be the plan after these 52 have been dealt with? What about the hundreds of others who have not had legacy inquests or investigations? What is the plan for them? So there's a real concern here, Stephen, that it still remains a legacy process which is piecemeal and unbalanced.
Well, where's the evidence that this is unbalanced? Imbalanced?
Well, if you look at the 52 cases that we're talking about, I think 99 or maybe 98% of them are all those that were killed by the state, men and women who were killed by the state. That's what they are, all 52 cases. So we're really ignoring those people who had their loved ones cruelly taken away from them, butchered on the streets by terrorists, be they loyalist terrorists, be they Republican terrorists. And that's where the unbalance is, Stephen. And there's no plan. There's nobody looking at a plan to deal with them. So that's why I say it's piecemeal. That's why I say it's unbalanced. But I'll say again, for those people who are going to get their inquest, I'm glad they are. I hope they get truth. I hope they get justice. I hope this inquest looks into the detail of those who sent some of their loved ones out to murder on that day when they lost their lives. So I hope this delves right into detail. But what about the rest? What about those who have not had an inquest?
So this estimated 55 million. That's to deal with the backlog of outstanding inquests. Is that where you're getting the 52 cases from? Because the outstanding inquest covers 93 deaths.
It's 52 cases, Stephen, which have been opened, which covers 93 deaths. So some of those cases are multiple deaths. So if you look at Loch Awe, for example, you would have 8-9 deaths at Loch Awe. That's why you get the disparity between 52 cases and 93 deaths. And remember, it's only 52 cases which have been opened that have been dealt with. There are many hundreds more which have not been opened. And I wrote, I think, last year to the Department of Justice and to the NIO, and I asked, how many more is there still outstanding beyond this 52? And they never gave me an answer. And I've written to them again to ask how many there is beyond this 52 cases. And again, they have not given me an answer.
So of the 52 legacy inquest cases that this money is going to pay for, yes, how many of those are investigations into state killings?
I don't have the exact figure now, Stephen. One thing that jumps out at me is King's Mill was one of the 52, which is already going through it. But I think it must be 50 of the 52.
And that's where you're saying the imbalance is. How do you think this is going to go down with unionism and others? Indeed, people within nationalism who do think this should be balanced. We shouldn't suggest this is just a unionist issue.
Well, I guess, I'm a unionist and I'm talking to you, Stephen, and I'm telling you now that those people who lost family members who are part of that 52 deserve to have truth and justice and for that inquiry to go into detail. So I'm not saying that they shouldn't have this. And I'm not saying that this is not going to be $55 million, which is not well spent to clear that backlog. What I'm saying is, what about the rest? You know, what is the plan for the rest? Nobody has outlined a plan to make sure that we deal with everybody.
Well,
and that's why I say...
Well, you know what that tells you? There is no plan for the rest.
Well, there isn't a plan.
It's not going to happen then.
No, and the legacy investigation... the inquest investigation unit will run for 6 years. It'll spend $55 million. It will deal with 52 cases. And then it will close. And then we will be sitting arguing about what do we do for the rest for the next 10, 12 20 years. And I think that is unacceptable. So what I want the Secretary of State to outline, what I want the Department for Justice to outline, what I want the Lord Chief Justice to outline is what is the plan for the rest of those people who have not had investigations, who have not had their inquest.
How can it be fair, Doug, just for those people listening this morning who are saying, hold on a moment, all of these investigations into the state, and rightly so, the state is as accountable to the rule of law as anyone else, but how can you have, in any credible society, all of these investigations, so many of them, into the state and none the other way?
Well, I think, Stephen, and I didn't get a chance because I got quite a late call from your researchers, but there is an issue that Article 2 investigations and inquests where the state has been involved do have a higher priority than others. I think that's what you have in black and white in a book somewhere. I think it doesn't take into account the circumstances that we had here in Northern Ireland. Such was the killing on such a scale that we need to look at some of these people. And a lot of them have been ignored. And that's where the real problem is.
Investigations like what? Like, for example, give me an example or two of investigations which you think they need to be starting at the same time as these.
Well, you see, here's what we do, Stephen. We end up looking at the high-profile cases, and we forget about the ordinary people who lost their lives. So let me tell you now, I'm sitting here now in my office talking to you, and 400 metres up the road, my uncle was murdered by Republican terrorists. Now, he has not had an investigation, he has not had an inquest, and he is not even thought about. That's the way it is. Now, that's one person. There is hundreds like him, people who are not one of these highlighted cases, these cases which seem to get a degree of hierarchy in being dealt with. The ordinary people who went out in the morning to go get a pint of milk, to do a day's work, and were cruelly murdered, those people are largely ignored. And I guess we need to start speaking up for those people who are being largely ignored.
So, for example, there will be inquests into the death of some IRA men.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
So you've got...
And Stephen, here's the point that I make. Okay, so let's do this. Let's look into an inquest into the deaths of some of these IRA men who were sent out by people armed, intent on murder, and in doing so, they lost their lives. So let's have an inquest into that and let's get the facts about what happened. But let's also delve into who sent them out there. Let's find out who sat in the pubs drinking beer, slapping themselves on the back as they sent people out to deliver carnage to our streets. That's what we need. And that's maybe we need an investigation. Maybe we need an inquiry into those people who sat at the very highest echelons and sent these people out to destroy this country. Maybe that's what we need to do to really clear this up.
And by the way, when I talk about IRA men, I just wanted to finish the sentence. And of course, there were many loyalist terrorists and victims of the loyalist dog who should be equally as investigated.
Stephen, absolutely, and I've been clear on multiple occasions. You know, we're not talking. You know, if you went out and you murdered, be you a soldier, be you a policeman, be you a loyalist terrorist, a Republican terrorist, be you a member of the public, be you a politician, you deserve to be investigated. There is no cloak here to say somebody should not and somebody should, but it has to be even, it has to be balanced. We have to look after those people who are largely forgotten. The names that won't roll off your tongue when we talk about the murders that happened on our streets, the small people, those are the people who are remembered just as much by the people, their loved ones, and nobody is looking after them.
Thank you very much indeed, Doug. Thank you.
My pleasure, Steve.
Right, let's see what you think of this morning. So the lines are open now. You've been hearing about this story all day in the news. This your chance now to talk about it. 0330 80 55 55. We'll start off at Newton Orange and Hugh. Good morning, Hugh.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning.
My point in all this is that certainly if security forces have committed crimes in some way, that they should be brought to justice. But when is the IRA and the loyalist paramilitaries going to reveal all? Because there is a record kept.
Well, they're not, are they?
I
not any time soon.
That's what I mean. With the security forces, the army and police, there is always a record kept of who was on duty, when they're on duty. You can ask for information of a crime that occurred in whatever date, and once they get all the occurrence books out, they'll be able to tell you who attended the call and everything. But with the IRA and with loyalist terrorists, there is never any record, you know. And when is Sinn Féin going to come clean and say to their IRA cohorts, look, it's about time we came clean and all this, let the security forces know who did what and where.
Well, you should be distinguishing between Sinn Féin, a democratic party, and the IRA, shouldn't you?
Yeah, well, let's face it, some of them, I would suggest, have, I suppose you could say, a history, and the dogs on the street, I would claim, would know that they are, that they knew to a certain extent what was going on, sort of like that. But I think that they should be encouraging the IRA to come clean, but it never ever will, and there lies the problem.
So you think it's imbalanced?
It will never ever be properly investigated, because it's a case of, if police try to question these people, no, don't know anything.
Hugh, thank you. Brian of West Belfast. Morning, Brian.
Morning, Stephen. Stephen, I can understand these crimes being investigated for the family's sake, but there's a lot of these crimes are not, will be impossible to investigate, because a lot of participants in these crimes on both sides are dead, and a lot of people are going to die in the next few years, probably, unfortunately, probably. But so how are they going to investigate these crimes?
How are they going to investigate them? What do you mean?
The people who participated in them are probably dead. People who done the deed, the bad deed, are dead. You know, so I can't, I mean...
Well, you don't know that.
Well, I mean, it goes, I mean, it's logic says the will, because these crimes happened 40, 50 years ago, 45 years ago, and the people who did were probably in their 20s, late 20s and 30s, and they're going to live forever. Unfortunately, they won't. I mean, but how are the authorities going to investigate and find out the truth when the participants are dead?
Brian, thank you. Stephen and Derry. Morning, Stephen.
Morning.
Go ahead, Stephen.
It's just a question for Doug there. Doug mentioned there that, unfortunately, his uncle was killed during the Troubles, and there didn't seem to be an investigation or inquiry into his uncle's death. And I'm just, you know, there's always investigations into crimes, and I'm just wondering if Doug could clarify why there was no investigation into the killing of his uncle.
We'll ask him. We'll ask him. Robert and Carrickfergus. Morning, Robert.
Morning, Stephen. Stephen, why should millions be spent on them boys that was done in at Lackaw? It was the IRA ones. They were going out to kill people that night. We all know what happened there. They were took out in an act of war. They keep saying they were fighting a war. And all the memorials that have them all say killed in active service.
There was a civilian shot dead as well.
Yeah, absolutely. He should be inquiring into why he was there, what happened with him. But why should the IRA men get an inquiry when they were going out to commit the bad deeds, yet they were talking
about... Well, because
about
the state...
Stephen, it says on their things, killed on active service. So why should there be an inquiry? They were sent out to do the job. The people that should be in inquiry, the families should be looking to see who sent them out and who touted on them, because that's the only way that they were going to be found.
But the state has no right to kill unless it is absolutely necessary to protect life, Robert.
Yes, and what were they doing? Protecting life? What were the IRA doing? Were they going out for a picnic? Sure they weren't. They were going out to blow people up in a police station.
So are you angry that your public money is being used?
Not for the innocent people that were shot there and caught up and crossed. But they went out in an act of war. They always said they were fighting a war. So if they're fighting a war, they were took out in an act of war. It says that they're killed on active service. That's what it says in their graves and all. You know what I mean? So why should they get money spent now?
You sound angry.
Oh, it's ridiculous. So it is. Ridiculous.
Why?
Everything's one way. Everything is one way in this peace process. Ever since it started, it's been one way, one way, one way. And that's a feeling amongst unionist people. So it is. And if you ask them to vote for that Good Friday Agreement, not a chance they would vote for it. Not a chance.
You wouldn't vote for it again, no?
No, didn't vote for it the first time either. Voted no, because I seen what was going to happen. Do you think the sinners went into that blind? They knew what they were going to get. They knew that they were going to... I mean, how many of them...
So where do you think it's all heading?
How many inquiries are you going to have for them, Stephen? For IRA, ma'am? Nothing, because all their guns were destroyed.
Well, Sinn Féin is not the IRA.
I didn't say Sinn Féin. I said IRA, ma'am. All their guns was destroyed, and a lot of them were IRA, ma'am. I mean, you've had some sinners on who won't tell the truth about what happened in the Mays prison and the escape. Think it's a big joke, won't say nothing about it. Why are they not brought the inquiries? That prison officer was killed during the escape. Why are they not brought the inquiries?
So where do you think this is all heading for your...
For unionists?
Yeah, for people like you.
They just want us on boats across a ladder. That's what they want. That's exactly what they want.
That's
and
a huge exaggeration, isn't it? Come on.
What? Is it? Ask the unionist people what they think. Ask the unionist people. I tell you what, there's more bitterness now coming into unionism because they see what's happening. I mean, we can't even get a government because one Republican Party says we don't want to go into government, but they want the country to work. They don't want the country to work. That's why they're in government, to bring a country down to get an All-Ireland. That's all it's about. And people are starting to wake up and smell the coffee.
We asked Sinn Féin to come on and talk to people like you. They wouldn't do so.
No, I wouldn't talk to them anyway.
Is that the way forward, though, Robert?
No way forward. People have talked to them for years and they've went behind their backs and done their dirty deeds. Nah, what's the point in talking to them? Not a thing. No point. Everything, they're taking everything going. We'll bring the parades down. We'll stop the orange walks. We'll do this, we'll do that. And they're getting away with it. And it's all being done sleekly and slowly. So it is. And people starting to wake up and smell the bacon here.
But when you say wake up and smell the bacon, do you not think the majority of unionists and nationalists in Northern Ireland, that they're not thinking about them and us, Robert? That they're and being in this cohort, or this category, sorry, of... You know, I'm a nationalist, I'm a unionist, here's my vision for how I want to live my life predominantly as a unionist. Where actually people are more interested in paying the bills and going on holidays and enjoying life?
Unionists and nationalists are both interested in that. But it's the sinners. The sinners rule, they still rule the place, don't you get me wrong. See up in West Belfast now, what the sinners say goes. If you don't vote, they'll be up at your door making you out to vote. That's the way it works.
No, you're being
That's
ridiculous.
The way it's
Robert,
no,
you're
not being,
being
ridiculous.
You are being ridiculous and there's no evidence.
That is happening.
But can I talk about your... Can I? No, they're not. Can I talk?
Yes, they are.
Can I? No, they're not, Robert. No, they're not. Robert, can I talk, please, about why you think your unionism, because you're making untrue accusations about Sinn Féin.
Facts,
so let's port
back
that.
And look at
let's
the facts.
Let's park that. Okay. Why do you think your unionism is under threat? And what are you going to do about it?
Well, no government. Every time somebody tries to get something started in this place, it's knocked down by Sinn Féin. They don't want it. If they don't want it, it doesn't happen. They walked out of government, ruined the health service. They were in charge of the health service. There's an example. Michelle O'Neill, in the job, makes a big statement, we're going to do this and do that to get the health service back again. What do? A couple of months later, walk out. And they keep saying it's over RHI, but now it's over gay rights and all this here. They just change it as they go along.
Well, what's wrong with that?
What?
What's wrong with walking out over if they didn't think RHI was handled properly? If they do think people who are gay should have rights in this country, what's wrong with the political party standing up for what they believe in?
What's wrong with that? It should be done in Parliament or in government instrument. That's where all this should be done. Walking away doesn't get you nothing. Does it?
I think John in South Belfast wants to speak to you, Robert. Morning, John. Go ahead.
Hello, Stephen.
Say good morning to
Robert. No, I'm just listening to Robert. Hold on. I'm just listening to Robert there, and he's going. And he's blaming everybody. As usual, typical unionist, blaming everybody. Listen, no way it's all one-sided, or it seems to be all one-sided, in his view. Because Sinn Féin never give up. Sinn Féin go wherever they need to go. and do whatever they need to do to get these inquiries. See the unionist MPs, whether they're UUP, DUP, Jim Allister, and them.
Well, there are no UUP MPs.
Well, do you ever hear them calling for it? Do you ever hear them calling for inquiries? No.
Yeah,
no,
Doug Beattie was on this morning calling for inquiries.
Listen to me. See all that? That's all nonsense. Because he hasn't been on the radio for a couple of months. Well,
that's unfair. That's just unfair, John. We asked him to come on. It's just unfair.
Hold on a minute. Listen to me.
I'm listening. Listen. Yes.
Billy Reid, his own father had to conduct the inquiry into his death. Right? And the man died in between it before he even got any justice. Right? So, what happened? Billy Reid forgot about it. Simple as that. And that's typical DUP and typical Johnson unionists. They're too busy swanning about the British Parliament. Acting jack of lords and acting this and that and the other. And Dura said, lying in their own pockets.
No. There's nobody lying in their own pockets, John. No. They're not lying in their own pockets. Robert, yes, go ahead.
Right. For a start, if you go back to the start of the interview, I turned around and said innocent people should have inquiries. So it did. And that's fact. I says the ones that shouldn't be getting inquiries is terrorists out in active service who were took out by the army. And an act of war is what they call them were fighting. That's what I said. So he needed to get his facts right.
No, dude, well, I give him a facts right because I'll tell you why. You never say terrorists. You mentioned the IRA. Simple as. You mentioned the IRA. You didn't mention anybody else. You mentioned the IRA. You did not mention terrorists.
Are the IRA terrorists?
You're missing terrorists now.
Are the IRA terrorists?
Hold on, you two. John, do you think this money is well spent? This 55 million, John. That is being spent into these inquests. Do you think it's well spent? Do you think it's a good thing that there's money so that relatives will know what happened to their loved ones and hopefully get some type of justice?
Well, if that's what it costs, that's what it costs. It's as simple as this. It's only 1 minute. Listen, seem to have all these inquiries and all this and that in the air. It's only 1 minute, and that's the Foresters and the Foresters and the solicitors.
Well,
and everybody
let's speak
else.
To Mark Thompson this morning from Relatives for Justice.
I'm surprised at all these Foresters.
Thank you, John. Morning to you. Morning, Mark.
Morning, Stephen.
So you can hear, I guess, some of the anger this morning that this is imbalanced and people are wanting a lot more inquiries, a lot more inquests than are currently on the table.
I think what we have to understand, first of all, that it's a human right. It's a right. These families had their loved ones murdered, some of them in the most controversial circumstances, where serious allegations and or evidence exists of state collusion with loyalist paramilitaries and also direct state killings in which safe and effective arrests could have been made of loved ones and people were killed instead, politically sanctioned murders. So all of these need to be investigated. The evidence sits there. And those families have waited an inquest for decades. Now, the reason why they're an inquest is because there was never any proper investigations by the RUC at the time. The military weren't held the account, or RUC officers held the account, and they were shoved down a long finger in the kind of kicked down the road in the inquest system. Inquest systems traditionally could not call soldiers or place them before them to account for what they did, and they effectively just issued death certificates, and the matter was closed.
But what about those?
Well, you need to bear with me, but it's a de facto form of impunity. And what happened is lawyers and family, DAJ and Relatives for Justice took a number of cases to the European Court where we said the investigative remedy in regards to these particular killings was ineffective and it breached the law under the European Convention. The European Court unanimously found that the UK did not ever investigate them and they needed to remedy the situation. So it has come about by international pressure from the Committee of Ministers of the Council of Europe following European Court rulings. And now, for the first time, soldiers and policemen will be compellable and they will not just issue death certificates, they will get to the facts of what happened.
But what about those families this morning, Mark? What about those families who are not getting inquests?
And there's huge resistance.
Mark, you're in a terrible line. Are you on speakerphone or what?
No, I'm not. I'm on the phone, on the mobile phone. But bear with me. Everybody's entitled to this.
But everybody's not getting it.
But they will get it.
And if you bear with me, in 20 years' time?
Well, if you ask a question, let me finish. statement. The inquest system is dealing with a small proportion of cases, and it needs to move forward. The greater number of cases and families that we all support across the community affected by all actors of the conflict have a process called the Historic Investigations Unit as part of the Stormont House Agreement. And it needs to be implemented to deal with all the other outstanding...
But it's not implemented, and we don't have Stormont, and people are watching today and listening today as they're sitting there without an inquest, without inquiry, without investigation into their cases, and they're watching the vast majority of cases being into the state. Now, it's fair enough to investigate into the state, but should it not be across the board? Is this not imbalanced, Mark?
No, it's not imbalanced, and yes, everyone needs to it needs to happen for everyone in investigation. And if you bear with me, the people that have the power to do this are the British government. They're sitting with draft legislation. Agreements by both governments and all the political parties in December 2014 created four mechanisms to be implemented to deal with the past, and we're still waiting on that implementation. The draft legislation is sitting in Westminster. The power to do this now, and the focus should be not only in balance or proportion of this, to implement the process that will satisfy everyone, no matter who they are and who they've been affected by. Implement the HIU and the Stormont House Agreement, and the UK government and the DUP have the power to do that, and they won't do it.
Mark, thank you very much indeed. Thank you. Ian, good morning.
Hiya, Stephen.
Go ahead, Ian.
Yes, Stephen, I've never rung into your show before, but I'm obviously from Northern Ireland. I've served 22 years in the armed forces, and half of that was in Northern Ireland in military intelligence. And I'm really tired of hearing about all these inquiries and people like police officers, RUC men, UDR men, soldiers being dragged through the courts when you have people in the highest of government that have been in paramilitary organisations, and you don't get them queuing up waiting to give names or details of incidents that I'm sure they're bound to know of. But yet, no, they want to drag everybody else to the court.
So what are you saying? Are you saying that the state should not be held to a higher bar?
No, I'm not saying that, but it definitely is imbalanced. You know, it's one rule for one and another rule for the other side.
But do you think, Ian, the state should be more accountable than paramilitaries?
Well, possibly, yes, but I still think there still should be balanced on both sides. You know, you've got people in the highest, well, not government now, but over here, and you know who I'm talking about, that definitely know things, but aren't lining up to tell anything. They're not lining up to give names or details of atrocities that have happened and people's murders, but yet they want to drag British soldiers, army personnel, and RUC men through the courts to get, you know, to get to the truth. But they won't drag the leg of Mr. Kelly through the court or Mr. Adams through the court to see what they know.
Well, Gerry Adams denies ever being in the IRA. Let's not tell me on a live radio program, Ian. Let's not do that. Do you think when you think back of the days when you were in the armed forces, did you ever foresee the day that this would play out like this?
Probably not in my time, but certainly this last couple of years when there's been probably highlighted more. And yes, there was atrocities on the British side. I agree with that. Yes, definitely was. But there was atrocities on both sides. But they only want one side of the story. You know, you not get the people in our government that are were definitely in these paramilitary organizations. They're not queuing up to give any details. They're not forced to give any details either. You've people in the highest of government.
Okay.
You know, it just makes my blood boil, it really does.
Ian, thank you. We'll take one more call on this. George in Hollywood, then we'll move on. Morning, George.
Good morning, Stephen.
Go ahead, George.
Did the Irish Republicans propose an international truth commission similar to the South African model? Yes, they did. Was that rejected by the British government and unionist politicians? Yes. Then, Stephen, it's people like yourself, BBC presenters, who have a particular public interest duty to push that issue to them and make them answer it properly. Why did they reject that proposal? I would say because they know they want to hide the real truth. That's why. Go on to ask yourself this question. The UK state is a legal entity with an obligation to uphold the law, not paramilitaries, whether it be the IRA, the UVF or other ways. And so this false equivalent about who has documents or who hasn't got documents, who has the obligation in law? It's the state, and it must be held to that standard. So stop allowing people to create this false equivalent. But we're going to get nowhere.
Well, the equivalence that some people are making is that when you have some people coming on the radio, coming on television and saying, we demand an inquest, it's fair enough to say back to them, what about an inquest into some of your friends?
Stephen, over 20,000 Republicans went to prison. And lots of hundreds and thousands of loyalists went to prison. How many British state security forces of the RUC, the UDR, the British Army, MI5, SAS, not even a handful of them. We know for a fact that most of the investigations were not Article 2 compliant. That's not my opinion. This is a fact, Stephen. It's people like you who have an obligation to push these points and make politicians properly answer them instead of allowing them to engage in false equivalent arguments. We're going to get nowhere unless we actually get back to the basics. The state is the upholder of the law, supposedly, and it must be held to that standard. We're going to get nowhere unless that happens.
Was it a war?
Stephen, whether it was a war...
Was it a war?
It was a conflict.
Was it a war?
What does that mean? What does a war mean?
Well, one of our callers raised this earlier on as a question and said that if it was a war, if people were killed on active service, what's the inquest into? For example.
The inquest,
that was his question.
Well, the inquest exists in a domestic democracy situation. It doesn't exist in a war conflict situation. We're not talking about it. See this? Again, you're creating this entirely false equivalent argument. We are not in a war situation now. We're looking back and using these terms like war, it was a conflict. You only argue it was a war, the Troubles, conflict, inter-Sinai conflict, terrorism. The average person doesn't give a damn about what label you're putting on it. They're only interested in what is justice going to do? Is it going to deprive all the victims of access to justice, or is it not? Is it going to hold the state to the same standard as the IRA, yes or no? Because that's what this all comes down to. Trying to create a false equivalence between the IRA and the state and then saying, the IRA are not the same as the state. The state exists to uphold the law. Okay, then, fair enough. The state exists to uphold the law. Let's hold the state to that. Oh, no, you can't do that. Where's the IRA? The IRA actually asked for an International Truth Commission, and you rejected it. So how, on the one hand, can you ask the IRA to come forward when they were the very people who proposed an International Truth Commission that the British state and the DUP, the UUP and other unionists rejected because they have more to hide? Don't forget, Stephen, the British state were behind the proxy bombing of Dublin and Monaghan. They planned to assassinate a Taoiseach, a Prime Minister of another state.
Who said that?
MI5. Plotting. So when you get into those types of things, they have way more to hide.
Well, I've never heard of that. So
never heard of that?
No, I haven't.
Well, I'm sure before the end of the day, somebody will send you the information onto Twitter.
Because I can believe everything I see on Twitter, can't I?
No. I mean, they will send you links, I'm sure, to stuff.
All right. George, thank you very much indeed. Thank you. Good morning.